The big question in business, how do skyrocketing oil prices change the way the Fed deals with the American economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A little later this morning, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke gives another of his twice-a-year reports to Congress. Bernanke talks to the Senate Banking Committee today, which is likely to grill the Fed chief on what the central bank is doing to kick the economy into higher gear, much higher gear. It also wants to know how the Fed is reacting to oil prices that have been going up, up, up in the wake of turmoil in the Middle East and in North Africa. Len Blum is with us from Westwood Capital. He's managing partner there, and he's with us live from New York. Good morning, Len.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. So last time he was on Capitol Hill, Mr. Bernanke talked about his confidence in this economy and the recovery. But that was before Egypt, and that was before these oil prices started really shooting through the stars. I mean, what can he say about those?
Right. I think that's right, Steve. And I think that Bernanke is going to say that, he's cautiously optimistic about the economy. His comments are going to be tempered, and he's going to say that, his optimism about the economy are tempered by oil prices, which are all about political instability in the Middle East. There are two things that investors are really looking for. One is the comments that Bernanke makes about the economy, and the second will be hints that Bernanke gives on the direction of interest rates.
Is there anything he can really do about it, though, Len?
That Bernanke can?
The oil prices, yeah. I mean, can he offset it in one way or another?
Well, I think that if Bernanke is concerned about rising oil prices, that means that the economy will grow slower, but there's a risk of inflation. To offset the economy growing slower, he can continue buying bonds, which has the effect of lowering interest rates and stimulating the economy. But if he's very concerned about inflation, he'll be more cautious about buying bonds and lowering interest rates. Net-net, I don't think inflation's much of a risk in this economy, and I don't think Bernanke thinks so either, just because we have such a worldwide glut of labor capacity and assets.
And what else does that mean, quickly, in just about 10 seconds, what else does it mean for you and me?
Well, for the consumer, the consumers are concerned about the price of gas at the pump, and that, along with their concern about unemployment and housing prices, continues to put a damper on everything. And consumer spending makes up about 70% of gross domestic product in this country, so it's an important thing.
And it's going to have a big effect. That. You're right. Len Blum from Westwood Capital. We thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher right now, average of 0.5%. One place stocks are still not trading, Cairo, where the Egyptian Stock Exchange is still closed. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 0.8%, 95 points, to end the day at 12,226.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
As we talked about earlier, the price of oil is up slightly this morning, still hovering at just above $97 a barrel. A couple things people are keeping an eye on today. Iraq, which said its production in February is at its highest level since the U.S. invasion. And today, Libya's oil chief said chaos in his country has cut production in half. In Libya, the opposition forces to Colonel Gaddafi continue to get closer to the capital. One place where they've already staked a claim is Benghazi in the east. As part of Marketplace's continuing coverage of the region, the BBC's Kevin Connolly is with us from Benghazi. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Steve.
If a civil war were to break out there, Kevin, which seems possible now, would this humanitarian crisis in eastern Libya, would that get worse?
I think there are two separate issues here. The first is that outside trade is effectively impossible at the moment for all Libyans. And the second is that most foreigners who are living here are, of course, trying to get out, Americans, British, French and German among them. There's no question that the humanitarian problem is growing here because Libya is a centrally controlled economy and central control has simply broken down.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy for just a moment, because the U.S. has seized a lot of Libyan assets. The EU has pushed through some sanctions as well, and oil has been greatly curtailed there. Do you see any of that on the ground where you are?
In Benghazi, at a very basic level, the economy is continuing to function. Shops are open for business. A lot of offices are open. But Libya's economy is entirely based on the fact that it is an oil-exporting nation. Anything which turns off the taps of the oil industry is going to affect the Libyan people in a very short period of time. And crucially, Libyan banknotes are printed in Britain, and the British moves against the Libyan economy include the embargoing of an export of banknotes. So literally, money will start to run out very soon.
All right, the BBC's Kevin Connolly in Benghazi. Kevin, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
The economics of oil have changed a lot in the last few months. Proof? The Obama administration's given one company the go-ahead to restart deepwater drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. The government issued the first deepwater drilling permit since the BP oil spill, Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The permit goes to Noble Energy for a well about 70 miles off the Louisiana coast. Noble had just started drilling the well 4 days before BP's Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded. After that, all deepwater drilling had to stop, and all drillers had to apply for new permits. Chris Skrabowski is an oil industry analyst in London. He says more permits are waiting for approval. The Gulf has become even more attractive recently because of the unrest in the Middle East.
I mean, where would you rather spend your dollars? I mean, it's not really a difficult question. To spend them in the Gulf of Mexico would be much more attractive than investing them in some of these other countries.
Skrabowski says to get the permit, Noble Energy had to prove it could contain a blowout. It'll be using the same capping technology that finally stopped the BP spill. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Finally, Kevin Tostado dreams of being a Monopoly champ. The filmmaker debuts his documentary of the people of Monopoly Nation this Friday. He met people all over the country who take the game very seriously, like the guy who tattooed a replica of the Monopoly board on his back. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Driving through Jakarta, Indonesia comes with challenges, and that's where the jockeys come in. We're not talking racehorses either.
They are so creative. They are really the real businessmen because they can do income from the critical situation.
I'm Kai Rizdal, business born of traffic laws. Next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.